Amen. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. You know, in that classic Christmas movie, Die Hard, no, I'm just kidding, I'm not going to talk about Die Hard. In the classic Christmas movie, Home Alone, what is it that little Kevin McAllister, you know, about halfway through the movie, anybody remember what Kevin McAllister said? The only thing that he wishes he could have for Christmas is what? What does he want back? His family, right? He wants his family, his parents and his siblings. And he, remember, he says, and maybe even if there's time, you know, Uncle Frank. Really, he wants, if you think about that movie, he wants the love that comes with family. He wants that back. He realizes once things progress in the movie that he misses the thing that he thought he didn't want at first. He wants back. He wants his family back. He wants the love that comes with family. And he, you know, really, if you think about that movie, he took for granted his family. He took for granted love and realized as he missed his family how much he loved his family and he wanted his family back. You know, how often do we take love for granted? Love of family, love of friends, most importantly, God's love. How often do we take that for granted? You know, we were created to know and to experience and to receive and to give love. And love, that real, sincere, lasting love that we were created for, that impacts every aspect of our lives. It does. Every aspect of our lives. And so this is a great example of that, what we're about to read here in Luke chapter 1, if you want to follow along with me, verses 39 through 55. In those days, Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, even while in the womb, think about this, what's happening here. Even while in the womb, John the Baptist was giving testimony about Jesus. And you know, we've talked about John the Baptist over the last few weeks. This, what happened here, this is not normal. And this was a fulfillment of God's promise. If you just look back to chapter 1, verse 15, it says that John will be great in the sight of the Lord, who will never drink wine or beer. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. And so this is a fulfillment of that promise. And so you go on in verse 42, it says, then she exclaimed with a loud cry. Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, exclaimed, "You are the most blessed of women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me?" In other words, how could I get to experience? I mean, this is so amazing. How could I get to experience this? How could this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? "For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside me. She who has believed is blessed, because what was spoken to her by the Lord will be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, because he has looked with favor on the humble condition of his slave. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and his name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. He has done a mighty deed with his arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. He has helped his servant Israel, mindful of his mercy, just as he spoke to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever." Father, this morning, as we consider this amazing song of Mary, as we consider her interaction with Elizabeth, as we consider this historical account of what happened nearly 2,000 years ago, we celebrate the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We celebrate what Mary and Elizabeth celebrated, even before they could fully realize all that was about to happen. And so, Father, please give us the wisdom this morning to understand how important this passage is, how important this truth is, how important it is for us to know and follow Jesus. And let that be the cry of our hearts. Let it be the song of our hearts, just as it was of Mary and Elizabeth. Father, give us the wisdom to understand, to apply. Give us the desire, Father, to follow you according to your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so Jesus meets our deepest longings. He meets our deepest needs. And we've talked about over the past few weeks, that's hope, joy, peace, and then today, love. We're going to look at love today as we think about this and what all of this means, and we think about the Advent season. You know, is there anything we need more than love? Is there anything we long for more as human beings than love? You know, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what you believe, you want to experience love. We all do, right? That's universal, because you and I were created to experience love. And so my purpose in the message this morning is that your life song will be like Mary's song that we just read in verses 46 through 55. Hope, joy, peace, and love, right? I mean, that's really what this song was. What a great song for Advent, not just this time of year, though, not just as we celebrate the arrival of Jesus and prepare for his second coming, but really all the time, right? All the time, this is a great song. What a song for the follower of Jesus that we just read. Let this song reflect your life. I would encourage you to read this song regularly. Read it and say, can this be the cry of my heart? Can this be the song of my life? And so from the passage we just read, not just the song, but even before that, as she's interacting with Elizabeth, I want to look at three realities of love that endures. Because remember, lasting love, right? Love that endures. We don't want temporary hope or temporary joy or temporary peace or temporary love. We want lasting hope, joy, peace, and love. We want enduring love. There are plenty of examples, plenty of offers, plenty of options, plenty of traps out there for temporary love. But those will never satisfy. They'll never fulfill us. That temporary fix, right? We want and we need love that will last. So the first reality for that kind of love is that love comes from God. Love comes from God. The kind of love that we want, the kind of love that we need, the love that endures, that kind of love comes from God. 1 John 4 tells us, verses 7 and 8, "Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love." God is love, and he gives love like no one else can. This is the love that Mary and Elizabeth rejoiced in. It's the love that they experienced. It's the love that they embraced as they're having this conversation. It's the love that changes us as God draws us to himself. And so have you experienced this kind of love that we read about here in 1 John, that we read about in the story with Elizabeth and Mary's interaction? Have you experienced this? It's only in and through Jesus. You know, I love how even, you know, in this, through our amazing triune God, we see in Mary's visit to Elizabeth, right? We see this evidence in how amazing this is. So look at verse 41 again. If you look at verse 41, we see God the Holy Spirit referenced. And then you go two verses later, verse 43, we see God the Son. Because what does Mary do there? She refers to Mary as the mother of my Lord. Now think about that statement. What is she talking about? Mary is the mother of Jesus. And so Elizabeth says, the mother of my Lord. So we see God the Spirit in verse 41. We see God the Son in verse 43. And then look at verse 45. We see God the Father. Because Elizabeth refers to God's promises about Jesus being born of Mary, even though Mary was a virgin. And so when she talks about God's promises, she's talking about God the Father. Now think about this virgin birth for a minute. It wasn't possible, obviously, for Mary to be pregnant with a child, but our triune God can do all things. The virgin birth is an essential doctrine of the Christian faith, because if that's possible, then everything that's about to happen in Jesus' life, everything that Jesus' life, that he's about to do, it makes sense now when we say, well, wait a second. This is the Son of God, born of a virgin. If that can happen, anything that Jesus does can happen. It's true. It's the miracles like we talked about this morning in our family groups for those who are here. God can do all things. And we're reminded that anything can happen if God wills it. Our triune God can do whatever he wants. And God willed, when we think about God wills something, then it happens. God willed that his love for us would be proven by the arrival of Jesus to live and to die on the cross for our sins, to rise again for our salvation. All of that is not possible, and yet it happened because God willed for it to happen. Just like old Kevin McAllister, right? Old Kevin McAllister in Home Alone, he desperately longed for his family at Christmas when he realized that he loved and missed them. And if we truly experience and embrace Jesus' love for us, if we truly think about the reality of what that is, then we're going to long for a closer walk with him. It's going to happen. And we take it for granted at times. We don't think about it like we should. But then if we really consider who Jesus is and what he's done for us, what he's accomplished through his death and resurrection, we're going to want to walk with him according to his word. That's going to be a longing in our hearts as we turn to him and as we follow him. And so let's just think about that for a moment this morning. Is that your longing? Do you long for a closer walk with Jesus? Lasting love comes from God, and that love impacts every area of our lives. Secondly, though, I want you to notice that love causes praise. Love causes praise. When you know and experience the love of God like Mary did, you're going to praise his name. You should, and really, you will. Mary's song is a song of worship, and how can we help but to worship God when we understand and embrace his love and kindness and provision in our lives? How could we help but to worship him? How often do you praise God for his love? How often does your life reflect Mary's song? You know, if you read those words, and if you would just say, you know what, for the next week, the next 2 weeks, I'm going to read this every morning, and I'm going to pray, God, help this to be the song of my heart. And then maybe read it before you go to bed tonight and look back in your day and say, Is this a good description of how I walked throughout the day today? Does this explain my motivations, my desires, my longings, my feelings? God gives us good things like we see in verse 53. But that's not just material blessings. He does at times. Sometimes he does. We don't understand. Why do we sometimes have material blessings? Sometimes we don't. That's not promised. That's not the good things that he gives us. He gives us the lasting blessings that come from knowing him. That's the blessings that he gives us, the blessings that don't just come and go with the ups and downs of life, but that last. Isn't it so much easier to respond to God with the right attitude of obedience to his word when we meditate on who he is? When we think about who is this God who loves us and who provides for us, who gives us these blessings? God never fails. He is for us. If we know and follow him, if we are those who fear him, as verse 50 says, he is for us. He is in control. He satisfies and he helps and he looks upon us with favor if we are his servants. This isn't just some universal statement that it doesn't matter how you live or what you believe or what you do. No, if we serve him, if we seek to know him and honor him and follow him, then he's for us. He satisfies, he helps, he looks upon us with favor. He is worthy of our trust and our worship and our obedience. And so love causes praise. When we experience God's love and we turn to him in love, then that causes praise. And so just think, is your life marked by praise? Is it marked by worship? Do you long to sing praises to the King? Do you long to worship him with your life? Do you long to point others to him? We have some Richland youth right now who wrestle, and so I've been to some wrestling meets lately. And usually when I go and I watch a sporting event, like when I go to a football game or I go to a basketball game, I wish I could be out there playing. But it's not that way with wrestling. Never, not one time. When I see these guys on the mat, I've never wanted to get out there and do what these guys do. I cannot tell where the body parts begin and end in this picture. I don't know who's who. I can't even tell which parts are the official. And so that looks brutal. In fact, after I play basketball, I oftentimes, just from playing basketball, I long for a massage. When I watch wrestling, I long for a massage. Just from watching, right? I mean, it's painful. When I watch wrestling, my neck hurts, my shoulders hurt, my back hurts, you know, because I'm like, you know, I can't help it. Like, it causes me anxious watching it. And yet, all that to say, I've never loved wrestling. I was a basketball player, and so wrestling was never my sport. I'd get destroyed on the wrestling mat. I know that. And it's not something I love, but a lot of people do love wrestling. And all you have to do is go to a wrestling meet. You can see that. You see the way people cheer. You see the way that people get into the wrestling matches. And you can witness, you can hear it with wrestling enthusiasts when they talk about wrestling. I've had some really long conversations lately about wrestling that I really wasn't that interested in. But you can just see through people's enthusiasm about it. People care about this. People love it. You can see it in their commitment to go to some of these tournaments or to give up eating for what seems like days at a time so they can make weight, right? I mean, who else would do that? And yet they'll do that because they care about it. They love it. And what happens? Love causes praise. When you love something, then you talk about it, right? And that's what happens in our lives. Love causes praise. And so think about your life, your everyday life. What do you love? What do you love? Where is your praise focused? Where is your worship focused? Where do, when people that know you have a conversation with you or talk about you or think about you, they're going to know what you care most about because it's going to be evident in your conversations. It's going to be evident in your lifestyle, in your commitments, in your priorities. Love causes praise. Lasting love comes from God and it causes praise. Thirdly, then, love celebrates God. And this is related, of course. Think about love causes praise. Well, when it's the right kind of love, when it's love for where our hearts were created to have, then it celebrates God. A love for God celebrates God. This song of praise, if you think about what Mary said here in these verses, 46 through 55, these 10 verses, it's all about God because he is the source of love. And so love celebrates him. Mary celebrated him because, like she said before she went to see Elizabeth, she said, I am the Lord's servant, or I am the Lord's slave. Let it be done to me according to your word. That was her response when the angel said, hey, you're going to have a baby. And she's like, well, wait, that's not possible. I mean, I know my life. That's not possible. And he said, no, you're going to. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to name him Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. And all of the shocking news. And Mary said, you know what? I'm the Lord's slave. Let it be done to me. Let it be done to me according to your word, God. Whatever you want, I will do because I'm your slave. Mary celebrated God. It wasn't just some general praise. It wasn't just some general thanksgiving that Mary gave, but rather it was specific to celebrating God. You know, a lot of people will say things like, you know what, let's be thankful. I'm blessed. And we'll say things like that, but if all the glory isn't given to God, then we're missing the point. He is the reason that we have to be thankful. He is the reason that we're blessed. And so it's not just some general, well, you know, let's be thankful. We're blessed people. Some general proclamation like that, that's not sufficient. Notice that throughout this whole passage, it wasn't about Mary. It wasn't about Mary. It wasn't about her pregnancy. It wasn't about the shocking news. It wasn't about her adequacies, her abilities. It wasn't about any of that. No, it was all about God. Her identity was in him. And she declared that. She didn't say that people would call her blessed because she was so awesome. No, what did she say? People will call me blessed because the Mighty One has done great things for me and his name is holy. That's what she said. Why would people call her blessed? And we do, don't we? We call her blessed. We read this. Oh, yeah, she was blessed. Why? Because God is awesome. Because it's about him. That's what Mary was saying. People aren't calling her blessed because she's great. People call her blessed because God is great. He looked upon her with favor. Love celebrates him. When we experience his love, when we embrace his love, and when we respond to him in love, we celebrate him. It's not about me or about you. It's about him. His mercy in verse 50 and verse 54, it's talking about his loyal, steadfast love that he proves through his kindness and provision. That's what it means when it says his mercy. It's talking about his loyal, steadfast love. And he proves that how? Constantly through the way he provides. And that's how this song continues with examples of that. And she references Israel. And we know, like we read this morning, with the Exodus and with the parting of the Red Sea and how God provided so that they could cross on dry ground, something that just isn't possible unless God intervenes. God proved over and over again his mercy, his steadfast love. And as people look to him, he proves his faithful love and power to save again and again. He's done it for so many of us in this room. If you pridefully do not look to him, and Mary even alludes to this, if you pridefully do not look to him, but rather you look to yourself or you look to other places for salvation, then the result is eternal devastation. And there's no middle road. It's either you look to him and you celebrate his love, or you look somewhere else and you don't experience the love that he created you to have. Lasting love looks to God. It celebrates God. You know, the great theologian Buddy the Elf, he would say, anybody remember what he said? How to spread Christmas cheer? Remember, the best way to spread Christmas cheer is what? Singing loud for all to hear. Tammy finally knows this. She finally saw it on Wednesday night with the youth. If you're excited about something, you want others to know about it, right? And so Buddy the Elf kept singing. And he said the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. He wanted people to know. Mary was excited about who God is, what God had done for her, who her Lord is. She was excited about that. She wanted people to know about it. She proclaimed the greatness of our amazing God. And so think for a moment when you think through your daily life, are you excited about the love of God in and through Christ Jesus? Are you excited about that? I mean, I don't know how we could possibly gather here on a Sunday morning and not sing with all of our hearts. I love this time of year. I love singing these songs, but I love every Sunday morning when we gather, I love to sing these songs. I love it so much more than when I sing by myself driving down the road in my car, and trust me, my kids love it much more too than hearing me sing. But we should love that. We should love that because we are excited about something and we want to praise the God who made us, the God who loves us, the God who sent his son to die for us. Now, but who knows? Who knows whether or not you're excited? Everybody, let's be clear, everybody knows. Everybody that knows you knows whether or not you're excited about who God is and what he's done for you. So remember, said my purpose this morning is that your life song will be like Mary's song that we just read about. Do you go through your daily life with a desire to praise God and give him the glory? You know, God's plan for your life, his design is that you're so consumed by his love for you that you can't help but to worship him. We're worshipful people. We're going to worship something. And when I say worship, I'm not just talking about singing. I'm talking about just pouring our heart, being devoted to something. And so we're worshipful people. God created us that we can't help but to worship. We're all going to worship. And so God's plan is that you worship him. Because he's the one who created you. He deserves all the glory and the honor and the praise. But you see, when we do anything contrary to God's word, when we worship anything else, when anything else takes the throne of our hearts besides the Lord Jesus Christ, that's called sin. And what does sin do? Sin separates us from God. Sin leads to brokenness. And brokenness is when we try to find our satisfaction in all these other things in life, when we worship other things. You know, if you think about just, and we can all relate to this, we think about the lack of love that we feel sometimes, the lack of love that we share, the lack of love that we long for but we don't get sometimes in relationships. That's a result of brokenness. It's what it is. It's because of sin, whether it's my sin or whether it's someone else's sin. It's the result of brokenness. The love that we long for but we don't get, it's because of sin. It's because of brokenness. It's a broken world because we are broken people, all of us, every one of us without exception. But most importantly, this means a broken relationship with God, which means we deserve to spend eternity in hell because our relationship with a perfect God is broken. And there's only one thing that can fix that brokenness, and that's the gospel. The gospel, the fact that Jesus came and he lived a perfect life. He died on the cross in our place for our sins. That's the gospel. Jesus died, and then on the third day, he rose from the dead. He won the victory over sin and death, so that everyone who turns from sin and trusts in him will be saved. And that's the good news, that if we repent, the Bible calls it repentance, a turning from sin and trust in who Jesus is, trust in what Jesus did for us, trust that his resurrection is enough to save us, that we can't do it ourselves, we have to trust in his death and resurrection, then he delivers us from that sin. And now, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. We're not going to worship God perfectly at all times like we should. We're going to make mistakes. We're still broken people until Jesus comes back. But once you trust in the Lord, you're changed. You're growing. He does that. He does that work in your life. And as Jesus changes your life, then all of a sudden you begin to recover and to pursue the perfect plan that God has for you. You desire to worship him. Instead of worshiping all these other things that we were tempted to before Jesus changed us, all of a sudden we desire to worship him. And then all of a sudden, you know, we talk about as God changes us, as his Holy Spirit takes a hold of our heart and changes our lives, all of a sudden those desires, those longings to love God, to praise God, to celebrate God, to love others, all of a sudden those desires form in us, and we can see that, and it becomes the evidence. It becomes the evidence in our heart and in our lives that God has changed us, that God is doing a work. And so is that evidence there for you right now? You know, one of the clearest ways that that evidence is there for you, one of the clearest ways that you have come to know Jesus, that you've turned from your sins and trusted him to save you, is that you long for others to experience that love. That's one of the evidences. If you long for others to know and follow Jesus and to experience his love like you have, then that's proof that he is changing you. If there's no desire, if you're just like, I'm not going to talk about that, then that's, to me, evidence that he hasn't yet taken a hold of your heart, that he hasn't yet changed you. Who's going to learn through your words and your actions about the love of Jesus this week? In which ways this week, maybe, is God going to prove himself faithful in and through your life? Is he going to prove his love for you and his love for others through opportunities that he gives you to talk about him? What doors is he going to open this week? What are you going to pray for that he'll open? Father, that is our prayer this morning, that you would open doors, that you would give us a desire to reflect your love for us in the way that we love others. Because, Father, we know that just as we read earlier out of 1 John, that we can't claim to love you and not love others. But if we truly love you like you've called us to, that's a result and a sign of your love in us, experiencing your love, loving you, following you. So that's our prayer for every person in this room this morning. Father, we pray especially for those who maybe yet haven't made that decision to surrender their lives to you, who haven't yet trusted in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for their salvation. Please, Father, right now, even as they're sitting here, as we're praying, right now, give them that desire to just call on your name. Thank you that because of Jesus, we don't have to figure things out. We don't have to get all of these things straight in our life. We can trust in what Jesus did. Trust in his life, his death, his resurrection. And call on his name, and then you will change us. You will make us right. You will fix our problems. Father, please let that be reality for those here this morning who need to make that decision to call on the name of Jesus for salvation. But Father, help all of us to constantly long for that love, that it would be evident in and through our lives, in and through our words, in and through our actions, the way we treat people, the way we talk to people, even the way we think about people. Let that love consume us. We say the love of Christmas, but Father, we know that ultimately it's the love of Christ. It's the love of what you've done. It's not just this time of year. It's every day, all the time, that your love would guide us. Our words, our actions, our thoughts, our motivations, our behaviors, all of it, Father. We need your help because we're far from perfect, we're far from where we need to be, and we trust that you will do the work in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.